Good morning.
Morning.
So we can end the meeting on the same day we begin it. This October 22nd meeting of the Coastal Region MPO will now come to order. I'm obviously not the chairman, Chester Ellis, but I am Van Johnson, the vice chair, and so I'm serving in his stead this morning. The core MPO is holding in-person meetings with a virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating, today's agenda is broken down into the following items. Approval of the agenda, committee reports, actions, items to be presented by the staff, other business, status reports on current projects and activities, information reports, other public comments, notices by the chairman, and adjournment. For each agenda action item, staff will make a presentation, and then the board can ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment session, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card. At that appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. That being said, our meeting will now be called to order. It has been determined that a quorum is in fact present. So that our first item is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
Move to approve the agenda, Palumbo.
Call second.
All right, properly moved to second. It will start to my left.
Owens, yes.
Gunnis, yes.
Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Milton, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Lewis, yes.
King, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Coles, yes.
Vice Chairman is yes. Okay, we're moving now to verbal committee reports. COPIC and BPAC, Ms. Asia Hurton.
Good morning, Mr. Vice Chairman. So the Community Opportunities and Public Involvement Committee met October 14th. There was no quorum, so they were not able to vote on the items, but they did advise us on some public outreach for the non-motorized transportation plan and also gave input on some upcoming surveys that we have for some studies. For the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, they also met on October 14th, endorsed all the action items, and submitted comments for the Bicycle and Pedestrian Facility Study, specifically in relation to the upcoming surveys that we have for that study.
Okay, TCC.
Good morning. The Technical Coordinating Committee met last Thursday at 2 p.m. We did miss Hen dearly because we had some technical issues, but we were able to endorse all action items. Thanks.
Executive.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to say that we had our GAMPO meeting, which we hosted here in Savannah. We had about 60 people from all over the state of Georgia, as well as Chattanooga, attend. It was very successful, and we learned about a lot of new programs, which we look forward to coming back to this board to talk about in the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you. The action item is approval of the August 27 Core MPO board meeting minutes.
Move for approval, Palumbo.
Milton, second.
Probably moved in second, and we'll start to my right. To my far right.
Yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
King, yes.
Lewis, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
West, yes.
Downs, yes.
Gunnis, yes.
Owens, yes.
Vice Chairman is yes. Moving to the calendar for the 2026 Core MPO board meetings. Ms. Wang?
Yes, we are normally meeting on the fourth Wednesday of every other month. So these are the meeting dates. So the only exception is December because of the holidays, so we have to move it up. If you're okay with the dates, please circulate to your administrative assistant so they can put on your calendars.
Okay. Is there approval of this for the calendar for the 2026 core MPO board meetings?
Regular motion to approve the calendar as submitted.
Your second. Probably moved in second. It will start with my left. Ms. Owens.
Owens, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Hagler, yes.
Lewis, yes.
King, yes.
Colombo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Coles, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Vice Chairman is yes. Motion passes. Under 2050 MTP amendments, Ms. Wang. Okay.
Okay, I'll go through this report really quickly. So we did have some requested amendments to the 2050 MTP. And so this report basically goes through them, but just some background on how we process changes to the MTP. There are three types of changes we can make. There are administrative modifications that are very minor, so they don't require meetings. There are one-step amendments, and that's when a revision is more than minor. But the request is not expected to financially impact the financially constrained plan of the MTP or the TIP, so it only requires one round of meetings. And then there's the two-step amendment that is more than a minor revision, but there may be expected impacts on the financially constrained plan of the 2050 MTP, so it will require two rounds of meetings. So this is a one-step amendment, so it only requires one round of meeting, and I'll get into the details why. But we received several amendment requests in October 2025, and we processed them. So the first amendment request that we are going to discuss is from GDOT, and is for the I-95 at Belfast Keller Road. And the amendment request is to amend this project into the 2050 MTP and into the TIP. So some background on this project. The project sponsor is Bryan County, and the request is to add the preliminary engineering, right-of-way, and construction phases in the cost band one of this project, and it's a ramp interchange improvement project. So these are the cost estimates for the preliminary engineering, right-of-way, and construction phases to be added into the 2050 MTP. We also received several requests from Effingham County to amend six projects into the 2050 MTP, but we didn't receive any additional information on cost estimates or schedule of the project development, which is required for processing an MTP amendment. So we were not able to do any further analysis on these proposed amendments. In terms of the core MPO analysis for the GDOT project, which is the I-95 at Belfast Keller Road project, so these project phases are not currently included in 2050 MTP, and they must be amended into the plan. Because the project is funded by committed local funds and earmarked funds, we will not require, it will not require the financially constrained funds of the MTP. So it will not have financial impact on other projects in the MTP. So inclusion of the requested project phases into the 2050 MTP will not impact other projects in the plan. So a one-step amendment is processed to accommodate the changes. So for Effingham County's requested projects, core MPO staff does not have enough information, such as the project information, the cost estimates, or the cost bands, which is required to determine if adding these projects will impact the other projects in the 2050 MTP. And thus, no MTP amendments will be processed for these projects in October 2025. So staff's suggestion is to request an amendment for a future round of MPO meetings with the funding and schedule information included in the request. In terms of the public participation process, so this does include a 15-day public comment and review period. So before moving on some type of motion to adopt this amendment, we do have to have a public hearing to accept public comments. So far, we have not received public comment on these amendments. And then moving into the updated project pages, so this project page would be added. And the Effingham County projects will not be added, just because we need that additional information. And then these are just the other attachments, such as the coordination and then the resolution
That's the end of the report, and now we can start to open that public hearing for this.
I motion that we open the public hearing.
There's a second.
Palumbo, second.
Okay, proper moved and seconded. I believe we'll start with my right.
Yes.
Melder, yes.
Yes.
King, yes.
Lewis, yes.
Egler, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
West, yes.
Downs, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Owens, yes.
Okay, that being said, the public hearing is now open for the 2050 MTP amendments. Does anyone have any comments from the public?
I don't see any raised hands.
Okay, anyone here?
Mayor Johnson, I just wanted to let you know that Dr. Shabazz is on the, so she's participating virtually.
Okay, thank you. Any comments? Going once, going twice. Okay, does it require a motion to close?
Move to close the hearing, Palumbo.
Milton, second.
Okay, start Mr. Owens.
Owens, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Bigley, yes.
Lewis, yes.
King, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Coles, yes.
Okay, Vice Chairman is yes. So the hearing is now closed. I believe we have to now take a vote on the amendments themselves, correct? Okay, is there a motion regarding the 2050 MTP amendments?
I make a motion to approve the amendments to the MPT.
Palumbo, second.
Okay, probably moved in second. We'll start with Mr. Owens.
Owens, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Egler, yes.
Lewis, yes.
King, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Coles, yes.
Okay, motion passes and the 2050 MTP amendments are adopted. Thank you very much. Moving on to item number four of FY 2024-2027, TIP amendments.
Ms. Hearn. Okay, so we also have amendments for the 2024 to 2027 TIP, which is our short range plan. And we received TIP amendment requests from GDOT and Chatham County. So I'll just get into those. In terms of a public participation process, this also requires a 15-day public comment and review period and also a public hearing. So far, we did not receive comment from the public, but we have received some comments from GDOT to update some of the language in one of the project pages in the report. So moving into the proposed amendments, so we just amended the I-95 at Belfast Keller Road into the 2050 MTP. And so now the request is to now amend it also into the TIP. And so that would include amending $25,000 in preliminary engineering funds and $100,000 in right-of-way funds. And then also we have an amendment for the Garrard Avenue Improvement Project from Chatham County, and that request is to move the utility and construction funds into fiscal year 2027. So moving into some of the specifics of that, so GDOT requested to amend this project into the TIP, so that'll include $25,000 in local funds in fiscal year 2026. For right-of-way funding, that includes $100,000 in local funds in fiscal year 2027. And then the estimated construction funding is $5.9 million in Y603 funds in fiscal year 2028, which is outside of the scope of this TIP. And the federal portion of the construction phase funds is $4.78 million, and the local portion is $1.19 million. These are those changes. So again, the construction funds are in fiscal year 2028. This TIP ends at fiscal year 2027, so it's not in the scope of this TIP, but we still included it for information. For the Garrard Avenue Improvement Project, Chatham County requested to move the funds programmed in fiscal year 2026 for the utility and construction phases to fiscal year 2027. So this includes moving $678,000 in utility funds and funds totaling to $9.6 million in construction funds to fiscal year 2027. So the utility funds are local, and the construction funds have multiple sources, such as Y601, Y301, Y230, and local funds. Moving on to the updated project pages. So this is the new project page for the I-95 at Belfast Keller
Road project page, and GDOT did, we did receive a comment from GDOT to add information about the earmark funds and the project sponsor, so we made sure to include that in the project page. And then for the Garrard Avenue Improvement Project, this is the original project page, and then this is the updated project phase page where the funds are moved into fiscal year 2027. This is just some public outreach materials, and then the MTP and consistency check. So both projects are consistent with the 2050 MTP, and I-95 at Belfast Keller Road was just amended into the 2050 MTP at this meeting, so it's consistent with the plan. And then these are just communications, and then the resolution. So the next step would be opening that public hearing for public comment.
I entertain a motion to open the public hearing.
Moved to open the hearing, Palumbo.
27 TIP amendments. Is there a second?
Second.
Probably moved in the second. Mr. Coles.
Yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
King, yes.
Lewis, yes.
Pigley, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
West, yes.
Downs, yes.
Dunnies, yes.
Owens, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. This public hearing is now open for the FY 2024-2027 Transportation Improvement Program Amendments. Is there anyone in the room that has any public comment regarding this item? Is anyone online?
No, sir.
Anybody in the room? Anybody online?
No, sir.
Okay, is there a motion to close the hearing?
Move to close the hearing, Palumbo.
Cole, second.
Tanya.
Okay.
We know who you are.
Owens, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Downs, yes.
West, yes.
Williams, yes.
Tanya, yes.
Yes.
Pigley, yes.
Lewis, yes.
King, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Coles, yes.
Vice Chairman, yes. Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve the FY 2024-2027?
Downs, make a motion to approve the FY.
There, second.
West, second.
And probably moved in second. It will start, Mr. Coles.
Yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
King, yes.
Lewis, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
West, yes.
Downs, yes.
Gunnies, yes.
Owens, yes.
Okay, motion passes. FY 2024-2027 TIP amendments have been adopted. Any other, thank you very much. Are there any other business in this area we need to entertain? Okay, moving on to status reports. Number five is the U.S. 80 Corridor Study Phase 2. Ms. Wang?
Yes, I would talk about the U.S. 80 Corridor Study. If you remember, actually, I saw some new faces over here today, so I'll just give you a brief introduction. We completed phase one in October 2023. That phase one of U.S. 80 Corridor is within Chatham County, and so it's from Savannah all the way to Bloomingdale. And then last year, we actually expanded our corn peel boundary, so Effingham County is doing the phase two. And then because of our boundary, we cannot spend money outside of a boundary, so GDOT pick up phase three. So the phase two that we are talking about over here is all located within Effingham County. And then phase three that GDOT is doing is extending from the Bryan County line all the way passing Hyundai all the way to Bullock. So I just want to let you know. So phase two and phase three are coordinating with each other. Because the phase two study we kicked off in May, and phase three actually kicked off, I think either earlier this month or last month. So we already had a coordination meeting. So we're sharing data. We're also sharing recommendations, land use, traffic counts, and anything like that. So for this phase two, Kim Lee Horn is conducting this study. We actually, since the last meeting, we did a traffic data collection. So we now get the daily, average daily traffic, and then also the turning movements and all that information. And then we also have this is the phase two, information. So we also have the coordination meeting with the phase three, the GDOT part, that is conducted by Arcadis. We already sharing information. So we set up the portal, data portal, and sharing information, all of this information. So, Basically, for the phase two, we will have the existing conditions report probably in December, and the consultant Kim Lin Horn will give you update in February, because staff will review the existing conditions memorandum to see if there's any changes, and then they will update that report and give you the updates in February. The completion we're targeting, well, the contract completion date is March 31st, 2027. So we think that we will get that done earlier. Any questions on this?
Any questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Urban flood model phase two.
Good morning, Mr. Vice Chair and members of the board. My name is Subhashi Karunaratne. I'll be presenting the staff report for Urban Flood Model Phase 2. So this study was awarded discretionary planning funds in the amount of $120,000 to conduct the study. This is Phase 2 of the project. We have already completed the Phase 1, and there's 20% local match for this study, so the total funding is $150,000, and we have procured the University of Georgia and Goodwin Mills Caywood Company to conduct this study. The study kicked off in July 3rd, and until now we have concluded 4 project management meetings. That's on every Monday and third Monday of each month. Thus far, the team has performed these tasks. The project management plan is completed, and the project schedule is also completed with the QAQC plans. We are working on our public outreach plan right now, and we also have the UGA team collecting the phase one data because they were involved in phase one. So they are gathering the GIS data and the model data from phase one. And we're talking with the members of the core MPO to improve what improvements have to be done in phase two. And also we're working on our infrastructure strategy guide, which is one of the deliverables of this project. The draft versions are being reviewed by our team, and we're drafting this currently. And one other thing that I want to mention is that Effingham County was very interested in this project, and they kind of like shifted the timeline and was very enthusiastic to provide their targets and the data they have for the project. And we plan on talking to everybody else in the boundary in the upcoming dates. And the project end date will be March 31st in 2027. Thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Bicycle and pedestrian facility study.
Okay. So Croy Engineering, which is the consultant firm that's managing this project, they actually submitted a presentation. And so I'll go through it briefly just because this presentation does show some of the preliminary inventory data that they've collected in the study so far. So just moving straight into it, for the project overview, the purpose of this project is to develop a unified regional framework for walking and biking by integrating local and regional planning efforts across the core MPO. So the study area for this project is everything within this red boundary, so the entire core MPO area. So that includes all of Chatham, parts of Bryan County, and parts of Effingham County. So part of this study is to collect inventory, build upon existing GIS data, and one of the major deliverables of this is a maintainable GIS database, public engagement outreach, and a prioritized project recommendation list. So moving into some of the study goals for this project is to establish a current complete inventory of bicycle and pedestrian facilities. So one of the reasons why we wanted to pursue this study in the first place is because we found that a lot of the GIS files and inventory data that we had on bicycle and pedestrian facilities was incomplete or oftentimes outdated. So this is updating to have a more clear picture of what facilities actually exist out there for our sidewalks, our bike lanes, crosswalks, trails, and other facilities. It also seeks to integrate and unify regional multimodal planning efforts. So there are a lot of different plans and projects going on in the realm of bicycle and pedestrian planning in the region, and this helps compile them all in basically one study. Also engage local communities to understand their needs, strengthen connectivity between neighborhoods, jobs, and destinations, support equitable data-informed project prioritization, and deliver a maintainable database of multimodal facilities for future updates. And we found this particularly important because just because you have a lot of data does not mean that data will stay accurate forever because things change. And for trying to keep facilities updated, information updated, we need something that is pretty easy and organized to update so we don't run into the same problem of our data becoming very outdated and not necessarily useful anymore. Moving into the project overview. We are currently finishing up the facilities inventory update. So that is actually doing the actual inventory taking of the bike lanes, sidewalks, crosswalks. And then we're going to move into the needs assessment. And so the needs assessment is going to try to understand where those gaps are and what the community needs in terms of non-motorized transportation. And then for public engagement, we are entering a public engagement phase where there's going to be some in-person outreach and also some online outreach, and that will be explained more in this presentation. So for the literature review for the study, Croy Engineering compiled multiple different plans that are going on in terms of bicycle and pedestrian plans. So that includes the Core MPO's non-motorized plan, Savannah Moves, SS4A plans, local bicycle and pedestrian plans throughout the region, and also some transit plans such as CAC's regional service assessment. Moving into inventory highlights. So this is just a breakdown of the methodology that Croy Engineering used to do this inventory update. They essentially broke down the entire area into several zones and then reviewed each area zone by zone. And from that, they have created some preliminary data, and I'll zoom into this because I know it's pretty small. Some preliminary data of our existing sidewalk facilities and then existing bicycle and trail facilities. So I'll zoom in on the sidewalk one first, just because it is a bit hard to see since this is a PDF. But according to Croy Engineering, they're about 95% done with the inventory collection. And so this is just about final, but they will send us those final results. But as you can see, the highest sidewalk density is within the Savannah area, but as you get out of that core, it becomes less and less dense. And then there are a lot of gaps. And then also in something they noted in particular is that it seems like in many areas there's more sidewalk density within subdivisions, but they're kind of like their own little islands. There's not really any facilities that connect them. Moving on to the existing trails and bike lanes. So there are a lot fewer bicycle facilities throughout the region, and again, they're more concentrated in the Savannah area. One issue that was pointed out by Kayla Brown was that some of the bike lanes that are marked as existing are actually planned and not existing. So we're going to get together with Croy Engineering to ensure that those uses are the existing and planned routes are separated. They're not put together in the same map, or they're not denoted the same, just to make sure we have an accurate picture of what actually exists and what's being planned. So moving on to the public engagement. So there will be several rounds of public engagement, and that will include a survey and an interactive comment map, and then some in-person public outreach. So these are the draft questions for one of the surveys that Croy Engineering is doing. And this is attached to everyone's agenda. So if you would like to read through these questions and provide some comments on what should be included or any advice you have for the survey, you can send them to Amy, who's the project manager for this, and her contact is at the end of this presentation, or you could also send it to me. But the questions will cover demographics, how people travel, car ownership, connectivity, and other areas. And then another part of the public engagement is also a mapping survey using Social Pinpoint, which I'm particularly excited about because I've never used Social Pinpoint before, so I want to see how powerful it is as a tool for public outreach. But there are several pin categories for putting a pin on a map to denote a safety concern, missing connection, comfort issue, an idea or opportunity, a maintenance need, or some other comment. But Croy Engineering is flexible, and if you see another category that should be added, or maybe there are too many categories and it's confusing, you can let them know so they can edit that. In terms of next steps, Croy Engineering is going to finalize that data and do some quality assurance and quality control, and they will submit some of the final inventory data to us by the end of the month. There will also be a project advisory group meeting tomorrow at 2 p.m. It's virtual, and that will include different organizations that kind of come in and review the data and participate in this process. A lot of the agencies that are in this project advisory group are from some of our core MPO boards and committees. If you want to participate but you're not sure, if you're on that advisory group meeting invite, then we can forward the invite to you and we can get you in contact with the project managers. And then the public survey and some of the in-person public outreach will be occurring this fall and winter. And then the needs assessment will begin this fall and winter. So in terms of completing the project is expected to be completed by the end of 2026. But the entire project, we have until March 31st, 2027 to finish it, but they're expecting to finish it a few months earlier. And then this is just the contact information for the project. Are there any questions or do I need to back up to a slide?
Any questions? Yes, ma'am. Mayor Williams.
If we have additions to our area in Pooler, would we contact the Asia Hurton?
Yes, that's me. You can contact me. Okay. Yes. And my email is here, and then I can also give you my phone number, too.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Just a comment. Just wanted to commend staff on taking on this initiative to know where we're going. We have to know where we come from and where we are. And that includes a deep, intense assessment of every single sidewalk, bike lane, bike trail, and facility. So really appreciate the intense amount of work and detail that it takes to do this. And to connect us all together so that we can build better. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Vice Chair, I've also had an opportunity to sit down with the executive director and other staff members. At some point, we need to identify where we have. I know you have the sidewalks, but in some subdivisions, they also have golf cart paths. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to identify those also and then have a mechanism where you can have dual use. So you'll have pedestrian, bicycle, and golf carts.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have an additional question. Yes, so, ma'am. For instance, in Pooler, our Quaco Road, one side will be regular sidewalks. The other side will be the larger that they're putting in now, the larger sidewalks. I guess you call them the multi.
Yeah.
So even though it's not complete, it's in process right now, you still want to know those things.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Call for projects for FY 2027-2030 TIP development.
Yes. At the last meeting, you actually approved the call for project packages, including the schedules and forms, and then the menus. So we have the deadline of October 10th for submittal. By the end of the deadline, we actually received four applications from Chatham County for STPG. We have three data sources for the STPG funds. We received four applications from Chatham County. Actually, one of them, the Old River Road widening, is actually joint application because Effingham County submitted a support letter. So that's 204, safety and operational improvements, Johnny Mercer Boulevard pedestrian improvements, President Street Railroad crossing elimination, and Old River Road widening. Effingham County submitted 15 projects. Most of them are multi-use trail project, and one of them is a roundabout, is operational improvement. Because there are so many, and so some pieces are missing, so we kick it back to Effingham County just to say prioritize your projects and then resubmit, because you are basically competing among yourselves, not only competing with Chatham County and other submitters. So we give them until the end of last Friday to submit that information, and they did. And then they reduced their number to 8 applications. So I will talk about that a little bit later. And then, so basically, for the TA or Transportation Alternatives, funds, Chatham County has the Johnny Mercer Boulevard pedestrian improvement, Effingham County, like I said, 15 projects. And for the carbon reduction program, Chatham County submitted 3, and Effingham County has the 15. And then, passing the deadline, Poehler submitted 1 project, the South Rogers Street improvements. So that one is including some widening and lane improvements, and a bike path accommodation, and it's applying for STBG funds. So, these are the final 8 that Effingham County submitted. So they finally reduced their numbers. Most of those multi-use trail. So staff are actually reviewing the completeness and eligibility. We're doing the completeness and eligibility check. And we are also setting up the website, because all the eligible projects will be posted online. We are also developing the form so the review committees can review and score the project. And we are also compiling the final list of review committee. Because of the number of applications that we received, so we are pushing the schedule late by a week. So previously we decided that staff will just to complete the eligibility check within 1 week, but because of the Effingham County situation, so we have to complete that by the end of this week. So that means the review committee will start the review, project review and scoring next week instead of starting this week. So I'm just going to show you something I am working on. So I am working on the STBG funds, and Asia is working on the Transportation Alternatives funds, and Shibachi is working on the carbon reduction program funds. So the completeness check basically is the project sponsor eligible? Is the project have a plan consistency, and do complete do submit completed information that includes local match commitment and all the signatures and everything? And also, are you requesting at least $200,000? And they all, by adding up, actually, we come up with about $100 million, but you know that we only have $5 million. So it is quite competitive. And also, do you have the local match, local commitment letter? So what I found out is all Chatham County projects, all 4 projects, Old River Road, because it's in the 2050 MTP, so both Effingham County and Chatham County are providing local match, so that one is eligible. And then Chatham County and Effingham County included very complete information, including the lab certification and the supporting information, like how they do the cost estimating. So that one is pretty complete. Preston Street, we are actually starting the PE phase, so they're only requesting for PE phase, because President Street is also in the 2050 MTP, if you remember, is one of the top priority in cost band 2. So this one is eligible as well. And the State Route 204 safety and operational improvement project, you heard the presentation from the consultant several times. So this is basically operational improvement, signal elimination, and then some changes. So that one is eligible. And Johnny Mercer Boulevard pedestrian improvement, we amended the project into the non-motorized transportation plan. So it's bike path project. It is eligible. Effingham County's Little McCall Road at Highway 119, that one is right at our Cornfield border, but State Route 119 is a minor arterial, so it is eligible. It's operational improvement. Blue Jay Road is a multimodal trail project. we amended this into the non-motorized transportation plan at last meeting. So this project is eligible. Effingham Parkway multi-use trail, we also amended this into the non-motorized transportation plan at last meeting. So it is eligible. And the Georgia High-Low Trail, we also amended. So Georgia High-Low Trail, Goshen Road multi-use trail, Hartville Road multi-use trail, Road multi-use trail, and the McCall Road multi-use trail. From all of these projects, we amended into the non-motorized transportation plan at the last meeting. So they are all eligible and they are all multi-use trail. I think we will probably get the members to review this because they might have different, each funding source has different ranking criteria. So I can show you some of the ranking criteria over here. So like how close are they related to vehicle crashes, so safety and hazard mitigation, and then also close to transit, close to bike path considerations, as these are car halts. So each one of them will be different. So they will be all evaluated based on this criteria. For the technical coordinating committee, mostly technical coordinating committee will review the SDBG applications and carbon reduction program. So I have over here for, I will review SDBG, Deanna and probably some other staff member from Chatham County will review that, but we just want each municipality to just give a one set of scores. So you might have multiple staff to review this, but give us one set of the scores. And FM County, we have some evaluation. And then the bike path, committee representative, we also review this. And then Michelle Strickland from City of Savannah also volunteered to help us do this. So and the last one that we received, I did mention, we did receive one from Pooler. Unfortunately, the Pooler project is not eligible, the South Roger Street, because this is a little bit capacity building project. So we cannot treat it as operational set aside. So it's not consistent with the 2050 MTP. Pooler was asking about $19 million, but they're only providing the PE phase, $420,000. So you're not providing all the required local match. So what we want to, because our goal over here is to help you, not to just to give you the roadblocks. I remember at last meeting, City of Savannah also requested some MTP amendments. We were not able to accommodate because we didn't have the information. And Asia just talked to you about Effingham County also requested MTP amendments. We couldn't accommodate because we didn't have the information. And we encourage that Pooler, probably, I think we will consider this. So what we will do, we will probably evaluate the MTP, amendments just to, for all of those submitted projects. Because if you remember at the last meeting, GDOT provided some additional state funds. So that means the revenues reserved for some of the projects in the 25th can be released for these additional projects. But we have to do some kind of evaluation. So just want to let you know. So we're not just kicking out. But we will do this later. So just want to let you know. So we're trying to have everything like this form developed, finalized. And probably we send to the review committee members and then also have all the information posted online. So all the eligible applications will be posted online. And Asia is also developing story map because if you see this project vehicle crash rate is larger than 50, 10 points. So how do the review committee know this information? So we will have the maps in the story map. So you can just open that and you will see that information so that you can give your score. So we're working on that and hopefully we will get that done by the end of this week. So the review committee will start the project review and the scoring. So we will give them until the end of November to do this. So in December, when we come back to you, we will show you the final scores and then the final rankings. And then when GDOT send us the revenues, the final revenues in February or January, I think at that time we will tell you like how much money we are allocating to which project. Any questions on this?
Any questions? Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. UTIP updates?
Yes. At first, we were trying to using the ETIP or TIP management, database management tool to help us do the call for projects. So the clumsiness would stop because you only need to submit it one set. But unfortunately, we were not able to do that because we got a lot of feedback from FHWA and GDOT. But we were still continuing doing research. We attended the AMPO conference and the GAMPO conference. So we actually talked to some vendors. We found out there are more vendors because our previous research was based on two vendors because we were not aware of additional vendors. Now we know at least two more vendors are providing this kind of service. So we had more demonstrations from them. And then we are also contacting their users, other MPOs, other state DOTs that they use the database management tools. So we're going to have the demonstrations and we'll compile all the notes. But we did share the concerns of FHW and GDOT with some of the vendors while we were attending the conference. So some of those, they told us it was actually pretty easy to implement. And then one particular one is, cause previously GDOT is saying that 9 months is too limited for us to deploy the data management tool. But based on our conversation with the vendors, they were saying you don't have that many projects. So 9 months is more than enough. So probably 3 months or 2 months would be the maximum. So we will revise, the RFP based on that and also based on the continued research, we're going to have. So I think at this time we were thinking the RFP, the revised RFP probably will go back in front of you in February because we are still waiting for some information from GDOT because the questions 9 and 8 were really related to GDOT. So which project development step they want us to put into this database management tool. Like the concept approval, right of way, a preliminary plan approval, all of that information. So we're still waiting for the information, but we will probably report back to you and probably try to get your approval of the RFP in February, I think at this time.
Okay. Any questions? All right. FY 2027 UPWP.
Yes, at the last meeting, we did issue the call for plans and studies, because we do want to include those unfunded studies into the, fiscal year 2027 UPWP. So, to make the projects eligible for some kind of funding. So we have several funding sources. For example, we can pursue the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee's discretionary funds. Which we talked to you about, like I talked to you about US 80 phase two. Subhachi talked to you about urban flooding model phase two and Asia talked to you about bike path, facility study. Those were all funded by the discretionary PL funds. So in order to make our studies eligible, we have to include them into the UPWP. And also, we are doing the call for project. I just talked to you about that. So some of the studies might be eligible for the call for project as well. So we want to just have all of that information compiled. And also if there are some state grants or federal grant, you want to apply, if you include this in the UPWP, that will be additional check for you. So basically you have the endorsement of the Corn Bureau board. So that will help your chances of getting the grant. So we issued the call for plans and studies. We did receive some additional information or additional request because we already included some studies in the current UPWP. Since we haven't got funding for those yet, so we are moving those into the fiscal year 2027 UPWP. So those include the regional truck parking study, the resilience improvement plan, Islands Expressway study, Ferguson Avenue study, La Roche Avenue, and City of Savannah's Bay Street micro simulation modeling, and CAT transit oriented development study, and transit stop amenity study, mobility hub study, and bus rapid transit feasibility study. So these continued these studies are included in the 2026 UPWP, and they will be moving forward to fiscal year 2027. The new proposals that we have is I know we just seems like we just adopted the 2050 MTP yesterday. It was adopted August last year. But it's normally it's a like 5-day, 2-year development process. So it's time for us to think about the 2055 MTP development. So fortunately this time FHWA allows us to use consultants because previously we had to do it in-house. So there are certain areas that the staff want to pursue in more detail, but we didn't have the resources. So now since we have the consultant, so we can probably pursue this. So we can put all of that scope into the 2055. And they also want us to update the fleet plan before or in concert with the MTP update. So we put the regional fleet plan update in there. So this truck parking study will be a part of the fleet plan update. It will be rolled into this. And we also want to pursue urban flood model study phase 3. So in case the phase 1 and phase 2 haven't covered some topics, so we'll explore in phase 3. Besides that, the City of Savannah submitted a new one. It's the Compio Region Industrial Trip Generation Development. So basically, you have the Azure Green Book, and you have the trip generation. You have a subdivision. So you based on the number of units and number of people live there, you have a trip generation, I'm coming up the numbers from the air. So if you have like 100 houses, you will generate like 10 trips or something like that. But those are based on the national level and two examples. So what City of Savannah indicated is that we need to generate specific, the number specific to our region, the Grand-Pierre region, including Chatham County, Southern Effingham County, and Bryan County. So we want to explore that. And we also have a lot of warehouse development and a freight development and multi-use families. So we want to have all of that. So we want to generate some numbers specific to our area. So when we have this, and it will be useful to you. So like fix some pooler, approve something, you can probably just guess how many trips will be generated. So City of Savannah actually submitted that information. And Chatham County submitted a new study. Is I-95 partial interchange and frontage roads from Quaker Road to Little Neck Road. And Effingham County submitted Effingham Parkway North Extension Feasibility Study. So based on our experience with the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee, we decided for these two studies, that is not a good funding source because they will kick that back, because these are really not studies. These are basically you are doing the concept for a project. So we will put the SDBG or other funding sources for these two. So that means whenever we have a call for project, and your project or study will be eligible. And also if federal and the state grants are available, and so you can apply for the funds. Like I said, you have a Grand-Pierre endorsement for these. So basically these are the studies that we will include in the fiscal year 2027 UPWP, and the TCC had a very, very intensive and discussion about each one of these. So we will revise the scope based on the TCC input. Any questions on this?
Any questions? All right, Ms. Owens.
What is the Bay Street micro simulation modeling other than a small simulation of?
That one, I think Faye might be able to tell you more. She's the one who submitted this one, so I can just scroll all the way down to that. Okay.
So I think the description is on here, Mr. Owens, but this was something that we coordinated with GDOT on, to give us a more enhanced and intensive way to look at the traffic patterns and things that we might could simulate in terms of changes, and then see what other impacts occur both upstream, downstream, and so forth, because you know the situational aspects of Bay Street, to be able to determine various alternatives in a micro simulation modeling environment to see what those impacts could be. So it's just a much more intensive deep dive into a traffic analysis type environment. And it gives you a visualization of it that you don't get in just charts and numbers that you would get from a more traditional trip generation type exercise.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you. Any further questions? Okay. Now moving on to our non-motorized transportation plan. Arrington.
Okay. So moving into updates about the non-motorized transportation plan. So the non-motorized transportation plan is a core MPO managed plan that focuses on bicycle and pedestrian developments, goals and objectives, and also a proposed projects list. One of the major differences between this plan and the bicycle and pedestrian facility study is that the projects included in the core MPO's non-motorized transportation plan become eligible for certain federal funds by being included in this plan. But the projects are similar in a lot of ways as well. So in terms of updates for this plan, so staff met with SAGES to discuss using ArcGIS to evaluate projects. So the advice we received when in that discussion with SAGES was to create a buffer around features such as hospitals, transit, grocery stores, and evaluate projects by how they intersect with or how close they are, how close in proximity they are to some of those resources. Also in October, we welcomed a new team member who will help with the completion of this plan. His name is Brian, and he's interning from SCAD. Additionally, staff plans to identify some public outreach venue to continue the public outreach for this plan. And this is especially needed since we had a large gap between the last time we did public outreach for this plan and now. So we are coordinating with the Community Opportunities and Public Involvement Committee to get some ideas about how we should conduct public outreach given the fact that there's a gap. So a lot of the people that are being introduced to the plan now may not have been there from the beginning, and so we need to see how we should manage that type of input. Additionally, staff will set an adoption date based on the speed that we're completing each section, but right now we are looking at April 2026 to complete this plan. And those are the last of the major updates for this plan. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Any questions? All right, thank you very much. And AMPO and GAMPO conference highlights.
Okay, there are several attachments on the agenda for this, but I will just focus on this one right here, which is some of the takeaways from these conferences and then also the impacts on the core MPO. So core MPO staff, we went to two conferences in September. So we went to AMPO, which is the Association of Metropolitan Planning Organizations, and GAMPO, which is basically the Georgia division of AMPO. So moving into some of the takeaways from AMPO specifically, there were a lot of sessions on AI. It seems to become a growing tool within the planning field and especially the transportation planning field. Some of the cases that I saw was the use of artificial intelligence and large language models being used to evaluate written comments on surveys. So written comments on surveys, they can be a lot to process, especially when you have a lot of them. I've in the past utilized like word maps or comment maps where sometimes you see the word that's used the most is the biggest. But an MPO in California actually developed a large language model that is able to evaluate those comments and give an accurate assessment of those comments. And one of the cool things about that large language model is that the code that they use to create it, they're actually providing it for free. So if you contact them, they will send you a link to how to set that up, which is pretty cool. Additionally, a Florida MPO is utilizing the SMART grant to create a digital twin of their MPO region and also using an AI analysis tool to make planning suggestions. So they're still in the early stages of that project, but it's pretty interesting to see the use of technology and how it's advancing in the field. A lot of the larger MPOs are definitely, I think, leading the way in terms of technology use, I would say. Another thing that we observed was a growing disconnect between the MPO and or multiple MPOs in the U.S. Department of Transportation. And this has been building up over multiple years, according to some of the discussions that were being had. So this is because for many, many years, accessing federal funds is often a slow and complex process, and many NPOs don't necessarily feel like these processes actually address local needs. So in response, a lot of NPOs are finding alternative methods to implement important transportation projects without necessarily tapping into that federal process, which is a much longer process. So many NPOs, they're pursuing projects called quick builds, and these projects are basically projects that are very quick to implement. They don't take years to build. They often take just a few weeks or a few months. They're inexpensive, so they're not in the millions. They usually don't even go past $1 million, but they're still really impactful. And so these are great for wayfinding, for intersections, and for safety improvements. And then also several NPOs have discussed the loss of funds under new federal directives. Some of those loss of funds have been grant clawbacks. This is more recent. We don't know the exact details of all grant clawbacks, but some NPOs reported that the current federal directives have different priorities, and so that's why those grants were taken back. So the impact on the core NPO is maybe we should explore more of those quick build projects, especially if they can be impactful, if they can be done quickly, and if they can be done inexpensively. I think that would be very helpful for addressing local needs if that's something we can implement. And then also the core NPO, we're paying attention to the types of grants that have been taken back, and we're trying to figure out the reasons why those clawbacks occurred. And this can help us avoid funding losses within our own organization. Another big topic at the AMPO conference was reauthorization. So AMPO has a better definition of reauthorization, but reauthorization is basically the process of renewing or funding or updating programs for building and maintaining our nation's roadways, and Congress does this. So the current act or law that we receive transportation investment through is the IIJA, or the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, and that's been guiding transportation investment since its adoption in 2021. That's set to expire September 30 of 2026, so that's coming very quickly. And so AMPO is essentially trying to advocate for NPOs, so that NPOs can, for example, have more direct access to federal funds or take more of a project management role, in comparison to how we operate now. So AMPO is doing a lot of work in this area in terms of identifying policies that they should advocate for. And I provided a link here in the presentation so you can see what they are advocating for. But the impact on the NPO is that this can highly impact us because it concerns federal funding. And this can determine the amount of funding we receive and the type of funding we receive in the future. So AMPO has advocated for increases in planning funds, direct allocation of funds to NPOs, and also the elimination of local matches. But we just don't know how this will turn out until the legislation expires in September 30 of 2026, and it's replaced by something else or it's renewed. Another big thing that was mentioned was project databases. So NPOs, they deal with a lot of projects. It can be very confusing. A lot of NPOs, we utilize, for example, Microsoft Excel to manage those projects. A lot of NPOs are moving away from that. So they're moving on to services such as ETIP services or even building their own databases to manage projects. So for the NPO, so we learned about a lot of new project database management tools when we were previously only aware of two, so there are a lot more. And since the AMPO conference, we've had several meetings to better understand these services and then build out a more detailed RFP. That was the presentation that YCODA gave before on that RFP. But we're still currently waiting for more federal and state government input before moving forward with this process in terms of acquiring a project database management tool. Moving on to GAMPO, so that was the second conference we went to. That was in Georgia and was actually held in Savannah. So we learned of some really important resources, such as the GDOT Research Needs Statements. So it's GDOT RNS. So GDOT has a free service in which MPOs can partner with universities to conduct studies and collect information. So this is extremely important, especially for those smaller MPOs that can't conduct their own studies. So since finding that out, CornPO has been in discussions with Kennesaw State University about research needs. And we met with Kennesaw State regarding the development of Savannah-specific safety performance measures. And this is because when we adopt our performance measures, we're typically adopting state-defined performance measures, and they're not necessarily specific to the local conditions of Savannah. And so we're looking into some research on how we can make locally specific safety targets. And then also we have Revamp. This is available for everyone here. So it's basically a free data service or a free asset management service. So GDOT has collected a huge amount of data on our roadways. And I only named about five here, but if you look at how much they've collected, I think, about 30 different elements about roadways. And all of that is available for free if you contact your local regional commission. So that includes bike lanes, guardrails, medians, turn lanes, road ownership, number of lanes, turn lanes, a lot of different information. And this all can be accessed for free. So the way to access it is you contact the Coastal Regional Commission and then email them for access to that data, and they will send it to you. And so CornPO, we actually did that, and we received road inventory maps for Bryan, Chatham, and Effingham County. And this data can be used for future planning and studies. Another discussion was the Atlanta-Savannah passenger rail study. And so this is a pretty important study that is evaluating the possibility and cost of a rail line between Atlanta and Savannah. And it's a huge study area. So one impact on the CornPO is that we will include the results of the study in our 2055 MTP. And then also, we could also this study could also reveal kind of a latent desire for multiple transportation options, because currently the only way to get to Atlanta is to drive or to fly. And maybe this can reveal that people want other options. And then lastly, there was the Southeast Georgia Commuter Feasibility Study that was discussed or that we learned about. And so this study includes a survey. And the survey is still open. It's open until November 21st. So you can share the study or take it yourself or post it on your social medias. But it's basically a study that assesses workforce transportation needs in Southeast Georgia. And one of the focus areas is for people who don't own a vehicle and struggle to commute to work. And so this involves working with businesses and residents to understand their transportation and commute needs. And so for the MPO, the findings of the study, we also plan to incorporate that into the 2055 MTP. And we have already been having some interesting discussions about such as the relationship between population density and urban sprawl in relation to providing transportation options. So those are all of the takeaways that we put into just this short presentation. But if you want to know more information, we have three attachments. So we have a longer summary. We also have some more detailed notes. And then AMPL also provides their presentations as well from the conference if you would like to view them. Are there any questions or comments?
Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Agent. That's pretty intense. Now, my question is that study underway between the rail system between Atlanta and Savannah?
So are you talking about the Atlanta's, the passenger rail study? Yeah, that's currently underway, and there was a survey for that as well.
Has the survey closed already?
I'm actually not sure. I believe it did, but I provided a link here to the project website so you can get more information.
Very good. Thank you.
But we've been participating with that team on that study. It's my understanding that this particular survey has closed, but there will be other opportunities to comment. But we've been actively engaged in this work.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We'll now move to information reports, verbal. We'll start with GDOT project status.
pre-construction status report number one, I-95 at State Route 21 is the widening reconstruction project. The next milestone is concept approval. Number two is 20172 State Route 21. It's widening reconstruction. The next milestone is concept approval for this one. It's anticipated next month. 20173, the widening reconstruction of the connector from 17 to 30. Next milestone is concept approval. And also the grade separation, 2282. The next milestone is concept approval. And it was submitted in August. Number five is 17414, the bridge replacement at Bull River, and 7415, the bridge replacement at Lazaretto Creek, are coming up on preliminary field plan review. Seven and is the roundabout on State Route 30 at Hodgeville Road, 18023. The PIOH is being wrapped up and reviewed, and the next milestone's PFPR. 15704 is the bridge replacement over Back River. And the next milestone's FFPR. It's anticipated in December. 15705 is the major widening on State Route 404. The next milestone's FFPR. And the construction projects are ongoing, and I added on the very bottom, 511250 was the I-95 at Savannah River. And we don't get a regular percentage from them, but I just kind of put a little comment there as requested last time that when the preliminary work would begin.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Sir, yes. We do have Dr. Shabesh online, and I believe she wants to speak.
Dr. Shabesh.
Not sure. She's
regarding the GDOT project status.
Good morning. Y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. And board, I wanted to, they did not recognize my hand when you all were talking about the passenger rail transportation system between Savannah and Atlanta. And my question, because Commissioner Milton asked my first part of the question, my second part of the question was, when will the information going towards the 2055 plan be available?
The reason we put the 2055 MTP in the UPWP is paving the way for us to apply for the funding in September of next year. So we hope to kick off the 2055 MTP in March 2027. Yeah, okay. In March 2027. So by that time, the Savannah to Atlanta passenger rail study might be done. So we will see whether we can accommodate that.
Fantastic. I'm so glad it's on the table. It's been a long time asked for the residents of the city of Savannah and Chatham County. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. All right, Chatham County.
Good morning, Deanna Brooks. For those who are unacquainted, the Chatham County status report for the I-16 at Jim and Oak Parkway, Chevis Road Improvements, and Girard Avenue Improvement Projects. We are at right-of-way acquisition for all three of those projects, so that's underway. The State Route 204 access study is concluding shortly. All of our other projects are moving forward as expected. The US 80 sidewalk project is pretty much complete. We're just finishing up some punch list items. The Quaco Road widening project for us is currently started construction, I believe in September. So that project is also underway. John Carter Road at Little Neck Road signal installation is a project in coordination with Bloomingdale. We have the signal heads up, and we are working on getting power to those. And the Waltower Slope project is still out for bid. Are there any questions on any of the Chatham County projects?
Okay. Thank you very much. City of Savannah.
Fata Massimo with the City of Savannah. Our updates include on Duran Avenue. Kimley Horn recently submitted our preliminary Duran congestion relief plans for city review. Those revised plans are being sent to GDOT for encroachment permit approval. A quick response access control project on Duran Avenue is underway. That's being coordinated with the city and progressing through GDOT. The intersection improvements portion of the Duran project is divided into the major project and then some intersection improvements that we are expecting construction to begin on those in summer of 2026, so much needed relief coming to Duran. The Public Advisory Committee was reconvened on September 30th and met again last night. Kimley Horn addressed GDOT's comments on our traffic data forecasting report, and it was recently resubmitted. Environmental studies are ongoing, and those environmental updates will be completed by December 31st, with the IJR submitted to GDOT by February of 2026. On DeLesseps Avenue, construction on the project is 80% complete and remains on schedule to reach substantial completion at the end of November. DeLesseps will reopen to vehicular traffic at this time. There's a current detour in place, but the project is continuing to progress. Truman Trail Phase 2B, construction remains on schedule for completion in June of 2026. And on the Middle Ground Road Tied to Town segment, the draft limited scope concept report was submitted and under review. A concept team meeting was held yesterday, and the environmental resource identification reports have been submitted to GDOT's Office of Environmental Services for another review cycle. Additional land survey is expected to be complete this month as well. I'll mention we had some exciting work with SCAD Serves on really unique trailhead designs that will not only be for this particular segment of the Tied to Town Trail, but will be used throughout the trail development. So we appreciate that important community partnership. And then lastly, the I-16 ramp removal. GDOT is supporting the project development with a updated interchange modification report and approved concept report. Those things are progressing right now, and we are looking forward to that project in our future. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions? Okay. Savannah Hilton International Airport.
There's no one online for the airport. They have to leave
for it. Chair Mary Transit, I see our director here. You, Ms. Cuddy, might as well. No report. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Mr. Vice Chair and Board. Stephanie Cutter, representing Chatham Area Transit with project updates. Project number one is the third ferry vessel. It is currently under construction with an anticipated completion date of June 26. The project is completely funded with FHWA funding, GDOT funding, and FTA funding. The Plant Riverside Dock project design is complete, awaiting award pending project deficit of $1.9 million. We are still pursuing funding for that project. Next project is farebox replacement on our fixed route and paratransit vehicles. The project has been awarded. Grant funding is in place, awaiting FTA execution of the grant. A ferry maintenance facility, the IFB is still open. Recent design changed to include sprinkler systems within the design. Hutchinson Island EV charging stations on hold, waiting for a project schedule and project update from Georgia Power and partnering agency Ocean Electric. Waving Girl City Hall dock and Convention Center dock. We are waiting on Department of Natural Resources sign off and final approval by the Army Corps of Engineers. We also have grants in progress with flex funds from the Federal Highway to FTA that's currently in progress. We are waiting award and execution. Also, we have in progress a replacement of 6 paratransit vehicles. Those are being funded also by Federal Highway Flex funds awaiting FTA approval and grant execution. Any questions?
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. City of Port Wentworth. No one on? No one on? Katie? Okay. Effingham County?
Nothing additional from Effingham.
Thank you. LATS SCDOT project status? Okay. Georgia Ports? Okay. City of Bloomingdale? City of Garden? Garden City. City of Pooler?
Thank you, Vice Chair. I didn't submit anything in writing, but I would like to give an update on our Quokka Road Phase 1. It is going ahead of schedule. The utilities are being moved currently, and we're looking forward to SPLOST passing, hopefully, so we can work on Phase 2. Also, we're putting out to bid this week the interchange at Pine Barren and Pooler Parkway, which will add the sidewalks and the multi-purpose. Every improvement that Pooler is making, we are adding both on both sides of the roads, the sidewalk and the multi-purpose lanes. That will include the Pine Barren stretch as well. We are currently working with GDOT on the expansion of Benton Boulevard and Pooler Parkway lane to go onto I-95.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Pooler? Thank you. Thunderbolt. Tabby Allen.
City of Tabby Allen has nothing at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Richmond Hill. Bryan County.
We have a few updates. Same updates I provided last month. These projects are still on track. Two of them, the Brisbane Road improvements and the Oak Level Road 144 roundabout, will be completed this quarter. Obviously, with the Belfast Keller Road and I-95 interchange improvements, we now, with the approval of the amendments to the MPT and the TIP, will await GDOT approval and scheduling. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Effingham Municipalities. Okay, any other public comments? Any comments from staff?
No other comments. As you see, wanted to make sure that you all hopefully take the survey that's still up for the commuter feasibility study, and you can announce when the next core board meeting is, which is December 17th, 2025.
I will. The next core board, MPO board meeting is December the 17th, 2025 at 10 a.m. Is anything else for the good of the order? Yes, ma'am.
For this survey information attached, so please help us share this through your social media or website. So we were trying to have as many responses as possible because currently there are only like 61 responses, which is not statistically significant. So we do have a like $100 gift card for this. So please help us spread the word. Another thing I do want to mention is GDOT's call for projects is still ongoing right now. So they have we are eligible for the transportation alternative funds. So their money is like amount is more than what we have. So we know that City of Savannah, Chatham County, and Effingham County applying. So if like Tyvee Porter, you have projects, please do that as well. And it's the deadline is October 31st. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Wayne, could you send me that as a JPEG directly to me, please?
Yeah, we will send this to you.
And to me too, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Again, our next meeting is December 17th. Anything else for the good of the order? Okay. I declare this meeting adjourned. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.